This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosenberg said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds. That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on the Michael K Show on 98.7 ESPN, which you can hear live right here every day starting at 2 p.m. And next week in the 3 o'clock hour, we give out, wait for it, $500.
No, you're wrong. Not in the 3 o'clock hour, in the 2 o'clock hour.
I forgot. The 2 o'clock hour.
Come on, man.
$500 every day. Is that still correct, though?
Yes. But start it's good, off, to, good to have the right hour, you know, if you're going to
promote. No, that's important. Yeah. Hold on. Say that again.
It's good to have the right hour if you're going to promote.
Yep. Let's start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I despise massages.
And let's say good evening to Don.
I've got soft salami and stench is my hope.
And good evening to myself.
Kind of look like what we saw all postseason long, where they just couldn't get the big hit to finish the team off.
Yep.
You know, in the last couple of days, we have actually had two drops that could win the next drop madness.
Yep.
That and one I had. I forget what it was. Might have been yesterday.
You don't remember it?
No.
I think we have it.
Oh, yeah,
we can play. We can play for you. It happened yesterday. You were on the Greeny Show, I believe. And you tried to say goodbye, but instead...
All right, be well. You say hello too. They voted. The staff voted on the Greeny Show today, and they said mine was worse than Greeny's.
Really?
Yeah. They said it was worse than Greeny's.
I don't know if I agree with that. It's horrifying, but I don't know if it's worse. Really? Also, I'm surprised we didn't get a drop out of you screaming at that caller earlier when you screamed, "You should be ashamed of yourself." You really? He got you heated up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The Nationals. And the Mets were canceled today because of contact tracing. They will not play tomorrow either. So we are hoping now for Saturday.
Not going to happen.
That would be the best case scenario. I just saw a tweet. Michael, how do you pronounce your name? Britt Giroli?
Britt Giroli, yes.
Her tweet from about a half hour ago. Basically, the whole Nationals team is in quarantine, according to Mike Rizzo, the GM. So this is not what you want.
What a terrible thing. I mean, the highest profile game, because it's the one that's being nationally covered.
Scherzer, DeGrom.
Jacob DeGrom is pitching. It's just awful. I mean, spring training, there were so few positives, and then this. It's just, you can't make it up. It's so bad.
Yeah, now, but there is good news for the Mets. I don't know if you've heard this yet, Michael. Francisco Lindor will be with the Mets for the next 11 years. That's right, this year plus 10.
Yeah.
He was asked about many things today, including Steve Cohen's trollish tweets.
Steve Cohen kind of tweeting out his thoughts during the process. And did that affect your negotiations at all from your side?
The crowdsourced one, that was funny. That was a funny one. I told them at dinner. The other ones, at that point, I already shut down my phone and everything on social media. So I didn't really care too much for it, because at that point, it's like, all right, are we going to get this done or not?
He was also asked about the famous chicken parm that he had with Steve Cohen.
Steve Cohen, you know, he tweeted that the ravioli wasn't very good. I guess, how was your chicken parm?
Mine was great. My chicken parm was really good, but I guess him and my agent are both from New York, so they have a better taste of our Italian food. My chicken parm was great. I had a good dinner.
I don't think if I knew I was going to have $341 million over the next 11 years, I might eat anything. And everything would taste great.
What's the first meal? You find out you're getting 343 mil.
Right.
What's the first meal?
Getting the best steak and potato that I could possibly have. The most expensive steak, some kind of Kobe steak. Oh. And I would bring family and friends and just run up a bill like you wouldn't believe, and it wouldn't bother me. Not 1 cent of it would bother me. I wouldn't worry about anything anymore. There'd be no worries in life regarding money, none. What a wonderful, wonderful feeling that has to be.
I mean, you could run up a $25,000, $30,000 tab for your celebratory dinner. It's nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. And you have that in the ashtray in the car. Nothing. Mm-hmm. And Steve Cohen feels even better because he has $14 billion.
I know. The best part is you just made all that money, and anytime he goes to dinner with Steve Cohen, he's still not paying.
Yep.
Let's hear from Mets manager Luis Rojas, his reaction to the Lindor deal.
I was in bed. I was up. I was actually talking to my wife at the time, and when they made me aware of the news, I got really excited. I shared it with my wife, obviously, right, immediately, and then I started texting some of the coaches. It's exciting to know about the contract extension, about the commitment for many years. I mean, it's a winning player. You know, we've been able to see a lot of the things that he can bring to this organization just to see it, that, you know, he's going to be here for that period of time. It just can give you that sense of winning mentality, presence that you're going to have with just one, you know, one guy. And I think a lot of guys can benefit from it. And we're looking forward to more guys to be around, you know, potentially, you know, that long.
Now you tell me, I mean, Luis Rojas might make maybe 800 grand, probably 750. How do managers and coaches tell players what to do anymore when they're not even in the same stratosphere? Now in football, you've got, you know, obviously Belichick can. He makes more money than most of his team. But in a case like this, he doesn't have any power over Lindor. Just doesn't. Now, luckily, Lindor's an unbelievably great guy, and he probably wants to be managed, but it's probably very difficult to manage and coach now because you're not even in the same realm of them financially.
But what do you have to tell him to do, right? We're, you know, you're not moving somebody down in the order unless the organization agrees that you should be moved down. We're done with the days of Joe Torre batting A-Rod eighth.
What do you mean we're done with that?
No, we're done with it being the manager doing it.
Right, right.
You know, so there's not going to be that situation where you're going to have a problem with the managers being like, you know what, I just got a hunch today. I'm going to bat you eighth because you've been slumping, and then take him into the office and explain why to him. You're going to explain, listen, the organization got together and now says you have to bat eighth. I mean, you're a messenger boy. I hate to say it that way, but that's kind of what it is. You think there's, you know, the days of Gil Hodges walking into the outfield to take a player off, those days are done. You know, Billy Martin fighting with Reggie Jackson, pulling him out of a game, that's not happening anymore. Right? You're not setting plays like in the NBA for a player to take the last shot.
I think Tony La Russa could do it. I think there are some managers that could walk out and do it. I think Francona can do it.
Yeah, but obviously the majority of the managers, and especially this one, no offense to him, you know, is just a cog in the wheel of this, of what the organization's going to do. So
right.
I just don't, there's no benchings, there's no designing a play for the last shot. There's no there's none of that benching players. None of that happens in baseball anymore where it's the manager doing it. So how difficult it is to manage a guy that's making 100 times more than you are.
Incarcerated Bob just led me to a couple of tweets saying that supposedly the state of New York is incredibly close to legalizing mobile sports betting. So in the course of a few days, we will go from two things that have been criminalized and illegally done forever to all being legal. It's wild. Of course, weed just got legal in New York recreationally, and now sports gambling on your phone will be there also.
Also, I just finalized this deal. I will be on KJZ tomorrow at 8:10.
How big a deal was this? How many years, how much money?
No money, one hit.
Yep.
And how perfect is that? You're saying that marijuana is about to be totally legal and he's going to take one hit tomorrow.
Now, there are a lot of people saying, Michael, that
yep.
Was it coincidence? Was it coincidence that the day that you spoke that way on Greeny, mm-hmm. it was the same day weed became legal in New York? any possibility that you had taken a hit from some celebratory boobange, and then when you tried to say goodbye, this came out instead?
It was skunk pot.
Not that. But is it possible?
All right, be well. You say hello to. How many people are there in New York? Like 9 million people?
Not that many, but close.
No, it was always 8. I'm assuming people procreate, so it's probably closer to 9. But anyway,
if you check the news, though, this year wasn't great.
I'd probably be the 9 millionth person on the list to do pot.
No,
there's no way. I don't know anybody that would be after me to be less likely to do pot. 60 years, I've had no desire to do it. I don't feel as if I've robbed myself.
I've
accepted the fact I work with two admitted potheads, and that's fine, but I just...
That's just simply not factual. Don, when was the last time you engaged, involved yourself in some
I tried it once in 1984.
Oh, then you don't fall under the heading of pothead. Sorry.
You don't think? You sure?
You all should be ashamed of yourselves.
That was only 37 years ago.
Yeah, he doesn't fall under that.
Wait, Don, you tried it once in 1984?
That's right. I've experimented.
The movie
with
Hard Bodies, 1984.
Yeah, see, it was both. He enjoyed Hard Bodies with that.
The fact that Michael confidently says least likely to do pot, it like almost is self-explanatory.
It hits different, doesn't it? It just hits different when I say it.
When you say do pot, it becomes clear that you are not going to do pot. It's not so much the pot, the weed, the boobange, the ganja.
Was that a blunt?
The herb. It's not so much about that. The green, the sticky icky, the cannabis.
Had a little something, a little toke of the
purple stinky punch.
Right. It's not about that. It's about like the people that you missed out on. And the experiences that one can have when you want to participate in the boobange. That's the part.
But I don't think Michael wants to smoke, so what about an edible?
I don't want to get high. I enjoy life the way I go through life. I'm
fine
with it.
How can you not want to do something you've never done? You said you want to try new things post-pandemic.
I do not want to do pot.
I would pay. Don, could we give $25,000 each to charity if they do another Michael K. John Sterling game? But maybe once pot's legal, they have a sponsorship, so they can make some money too. And right before the first batter, top of the first inning, Michael and Sterling pop an edible and call the game. Don, would you put up $25,000 to see that?
No.
Asparagus.
I mean, I want to see
I don't really
it,
think you'd have to pay John.
That's a lot of money. Sauce.
And if he got the munchies, think about all the options he'd have.
Nutella.
Oh, yeah. That feels
veal
good.
Cutlet.
Well, why not just like on a Sunday, you got nothing going on.
Pickled ginger.
Just give it a try. Nothing bad's going to happen.
But you don't want to try it, Don. So now you're talking out of the side of your mouth.
What?
You're not going to do it.
I do not want to do pot.
But at least I've done it.
True, but it's been so long. Did you do it with Nancy?
No, it was just slightly before I met Nancy.
It was before you met Nancy. You've known Nancy since you were a child.
I've tried other things.
Okay, go ahead.
I've dropped acid. I've taken meth.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I want to work with you anymore. You've dropped acid. Who are you?
Wait, hold on. What did you say after you said you dropped acid?
Mescaline.
I thought you said meth, and I went, wow, 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 wee, wah.
Oh, my God, you've been drunk. What's the difference?
And by the way, Michael, shame on you. Shame on you, of all people. You Dave Maloney, that Don drop that just happened. I can't believe you did that. It sounded like he said, I've dropped acid, I've taken meth, and you stepped right on it.
I've dropped acid.
Well, I'm sorry. The information he was imparting was startling to me.
It was very interesting, to say the least. Let's hear from Aaron Boone.
What did he just say?
You got to try things in life.
Oh, okay.
Let's hear 16,
17, 18 years old. This is when life opens its doors.
All right,
And you choose your path, and you have to choose your path wisely. And the way you choose the path is you take a couple of steps on each one.
Okay, here's the deal. Look out for FedEx package tomorrow. I'll be sending you some black tar. Just try it. You know, just try some black tar.
It's a little bit of a leap.
Well, you said you're going to try everything.
That's it.
Well, that's something that can absolutely destroy your life on the first try.
I haven't tried cocaine.
So here's my question.
To all the kids that are listening.
I don't want to end up like Len Bias.
For all the kids that are listening, don't do this. Don't listen.
I've dropped acid. I've taken meth.
Oh, my God.
So here's my question. If Michael Kay is at a party and someone hands you – Don, this is what makes him crazy. He's at a party. He's living the new Michael Kay life, right?
You're
like,
there.
It's like an SNL after party, and it's a corner, and people are all passing
people
things around.
People from other networks are there.
Right. The Don and Dick show's happening across the way. And someone, Michael would look at someone passing him like a bowl, like a weed pipe. To him, he sees it the same as if they handed him a crack pipe. He sees no difference.
He thinks all drugs are exactly the same. Because he always goes to the heroin analogy.
It's troubling.
Because we said about, will you try pot? Well, the other drugs are illegal. Nobody's telling you to do a line.
Here's the drugs that I do. Erythromycin. That's it. I'm good.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, I got to get to the drop madness results. Let's hear from Aaron Judge after the Yankees lost to the Blue Jays on his struggles today.
Yeah, especially when you don't come up for your team there in the seventh, having the bases loaded, one out. You know, I just kind of get a ball in the air, give us the lead, and then I end up, you know, grounding out, double play in an inning. And then there in the ninth, too, same thing. You know, guys in scoring position, you know, just hit something the other way, get in the gap, watch the guys run, wasn't able to come through, you know. So it's, you know, let the team down twice there, and then even, you know, the ball over my head, you know, another opportunity we could have, you know, at least held him or at least caught that or cut the guy off or kept him from scoring and didn't do it. So, you know, a lot of missed opportunities on my part.
Well, he answered my question, Michael, because I was going to ask you when you came back, did you think Judge misplayed that ball or was it simply his positioning beforehand?
I think he was shallow. I mean, he was positioned shallow. I don't think he misplayed it. It was hit directly over his head, which is the toughest ball for an outfielder, but he was shallow. I don't blame him on that.
And let's hear from
bouncing over his head, playing it off the wall. It didn't matter, but allowed the extra base to be taken.
Absolutely. He got close to the wall because he was trying to make the catch, and so the guy was on second, and he would have been on second if he fielded it cleanly.
Let's hear from Aaron Boone on Stanton getting booed after his performance.
As I've answered over and over again this spring about him and why I'm so excited about, you know, the year I think he's going to go out and have is because I just think he's so disciplined. His process is so good. He game plans and he's so diligent and disciplined to it. Today was a tough day for him, but no, I don't worry about it. He's too talented. I think he knows what he's doing. He knows what the league's trying to do to him. And I think that'll play itself out over time. The biggest thing for him is going to be able to making sure he's able to post all the time.
I know you've got drop madness, okay? Mm-hmm. But very quickly, fans could do whatever they want. They pay a lot of money to come into this ballpark. They could say and do whatever they want. But those that booed him at that point, you really got to check yourself. Because if you looked at the postseason last year, he had 6 home runs. Well, what's the purpose of booing somebody on opening day? Really, what's the purpose?
Michael,
you're not surprised, are you?
No, but
I'm
he's
not
dead.
Surprised.
No, but Michael's dead
wondering.
Right. He's dead right. It's have a little bit of memory. The last thing he did that meant anything was he was the most clutch guy on the team.
Right. Kind of carried your team.
And now you're booing him on opening day. Yeah. If you're that big a fan, maybe you remember that. Let's get into Drop Madness on the K-Show, brought to you by Wendy's, where quality's our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. We start out in the K region. It's chalk, baby. The one seed advances.
Don plowed his entire neighborhood yesterday.
Big win over the 2 seed.
But I'm a bad teammate. Both of you take a walk. We'll be back. No music out.
Gosh, I remember that day so well.
Good times, huh?
It was I was in Florida. I was stuck in Florida the day after I lost my 24/7 championship. Let's go to the Peter region. More chalk and another dominant performance from the 1 seed.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds
the Ravens against Derrick Henry and the Tennessee. So we say goodbye to the two seed, Tom Thibodeau, 77-23.
Wow.
Andrew, has this one seed, has it had less than 75%?
It's been dominant throughout. Yeah.
Let's head over to the Don region where they lobbied, they fought, and the four seed continues on.
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
65-35 over the 15.
Wow. God, I had a soft salami over at Katz. It's to die for.
Don, I'm sorry. I can't do anything. I don't know what to do.
It's got a cult following. There's no way around it.
And it's very popular, and it's going to have a very hard matchup in the final four. The one seed in the Nether region advances.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing.
So you're going to have Andrew screaming up against Stench in Mamaroneck on one side, and on the other side, the left side, if you're looking at the bracket, you'll have Michael Kay's Don plowed his whole neighborhood yesterday against Derrick Henry versus Derrick Henry. The final four is set. That's Drop Madness, and that's ENN on this Thursday, April 1st, the opening day of the Major League Baseball season.
And the Yankees lose their opener 3-2 in 10 innings. They're off tomorrow. They play two games this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. We've got a big show tomorrow. Big show starting at 2, going till 6:30. Got a lot of things to cover. We'll cover it like a glove. We're looking forward to it. So in the words of Billy Joel, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for goodbye again. See everybody. Have a great night. Rangers hockey is next. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.